Welcome to the Dangerous Men Podcast. Today with Spencer and Johnny, we have a special guest, Ben Salmon. Johnny, can you introduce him?
Yeah. Ben is from Hermitage, Missouri, which is about 30 minutes north of where he now lives with his wife, Stevie, and heir Malachi. They are now expecting their second here soon, this summer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so Ben attended Truman State University. After graduating, he worked for about a year with Southwest Baptist University and is now, for the past 7 years, working with K-Life chapter in Polk County. And for the last year, has been the executive director.
We would like to know how you got involved with the Dangerous Men and what that looks like for K-Life.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it was on a marriage retreat with Bill Walkup, and this marriage retreat was basically someone in the couple had to be attending a student at SBU. My wife was in PT school, and we were really really tight with a guy named Levi Hipma, and he introduced Levi, from Minnesota, introduced Bill to this Dangerous Men thing, and I was kind of in the conversation and overheard it. So I heard that was in a spring, I think, and then Bill kind of forgot about it, but Bill started it up in the next fall with a few handful of guys, and Sam Jones was one of those guys, and he was a K-Life leader for me at the time, and kind of talked to me enough and said, hey, you need to, I was like, yeah, I got the book, I'll just read it and check it out and see if I can use it for ministry stuff. He was like, no, you really, like, it's only good if you, like, go through it with a few guys in community.
Good idea.
You know, and I'm sitting there like, I got enough things going on. This is, this is probably my second year in my vocational full-time ministry. Stevie's still in PT school. She's actually on clinicals. So I had a guy, that spring, I had a guy named Phil living with me, one of my leaders, probably only a sophomore-ish in college. And so him and I, another guy named Joey, another one of my K-Life leaders, we just started going through it. Didn't really know what we were doing, but had the book, and I think you sent me, or somehow I got a hold of a leader guide, and we just went through it, the three of us. And there were some other guys kind of in and out, but it was really us three that went through it all. And then went through the steps later at Sam Jones's house, where I first met Johnny and Spencer, young bucks,
and
19,
Lowell.
And Lowell. That's right. I was a little I was a little intimidated to meet Lowell. I'd heard enough stories, and I was like, one of these guys gonna ask me some
kind of scary
questions, you know?
I'm kind of scary.
Turns out I was like, you just look like kind of like my grandpa. That's all right.
Depends on if you like your grandpa.
Yeah, let's move on. So that was my went through the steps for the first time that spring, whatever year that was, some years ago, and was really transformative for me personally. You know, I wasn't expecting it to be such a big impact on me personally in my own fight against lust and for holiness, and the steps to freedom were, that first time through, I remember Phil and I would spend, we spent a good, hour or two on a couple steps, just confessing sin, and the Holy Spirit kept bringing things to mind, and it was freeing, left that weekend or just feeling a lot lighter and a lot more empowered to fight, fight against lust, fight against sin, and fight for holiness. And so that was kind of the personal start, and then I realized pretty quickly, like, we got to turn this around on other people. We got to share the wealth. And so I think it was the very next fall, I got all of my guy leaders, most of them are college guys, a couple of young adults, got them together and said, this is going to be a lot of work for you, a lot of extra stuff, because they were leading small groups and mentoring kids and stuff like that. But knowing that I hadn't yet found anything that could help me personally until Dangerous Men, and then help other people walk young men through the battle of lust and how to overcome it or fight it or anything, really, like, really something, a tool that was effective, and said, guys, we're going to go through this. It's going to be long, every week you're going to meet for 2 hours, and if you can't make it, you're going to make it up, and just casted vision about, I think there was enough guys serious about following Jesus. They were hungry for a solution. They were hungry for something that could help them in this faith walk. And for the most part, they bought in, and We did it that fall with all of our K-Life leaders and had an awesome retreat again with the Steps to Freedom. I think that was the first time we kind of combined a K-Life and SBU retreat, and it was a ton of fun. It was a blast. And yeah, and then started turning it. And so then from there, I used it. The first high school small group that used it was my guys that are now about to graduate college. They were seniors at that time. So Sam's little brother, John Jones, was in there. And some of their guys that have been leaders now for me for 4 years were in there. And that was super transformative in their lives. And yeah, just probably one of the best, definitely one of the best small group Bible study things we did over the 3 years of that small group. And then since then, it's just kind of been a kind of mandatory requirement for any dude that hangs around K-Life longer than a month or two, that leaders, high schoolers, at different stages, they're going to go through Dangerous Men. And a lot of small groups will end up going through it twice, you know, in their high school career. And,
yeah. Well, I call it it's not a purity program. It's a jumpstart to discipleship. It's a discipleship process.
Yeah. I remember you told me one time, it's like, look, this isn't the best Bible study in the world. It just makes all your other Bible studies better.
Yeah.
And I've used that to explain it to a lot of people, and they really catch on, like, oh yeah, if you want to study Ephesians or study some theology, you can be in your head and you can be talking about it, but if you don't deal with the lust, you don't deal with the sin that's kind of hovering underneath.
Yeah.
There's always some kind of block, you know, and you don't go as far.
Absolutely.
Throughout the country, we've seen Dangerous Men really take off at college campuses, and college-age guys have seemed to have tons of success. But you have introduced Dangerous Men at a high school level as well. Do you have any insights on the differences between groups, high school groups versus college groups, on how you run them?
Good question, Spencer. Good question. Difference between high school and college groups? Well, a lot of times... thankfully high schoolers don't have as much baggage, you know. One of the things is you catch them younger, they don't have as many years of secret sin, and as many many years of struggling with pornography and masturbation and that sin. And but kind of the flip side is sometimes it takes them a little bit longer to kind of open up or go deeper. They just need more direction in that, I think, which is a little bit just cognitive development stage. And so really, you really got to kind of be a better leader, I think, to lead high school groups through it in a way, because you got to help kind of pull things out and draw things out and help kind of just discern when that kiddo is just not giving enough, you know, and he's not going deep enough. And so I think that's a little bit of a difference. I've noticed on our Steps retreat, our high school guys don't spend as much time in the confessional booth.
They just don't go as deep.
No, it goes deep, and maybe they don't, and they're still understanding how to walk by the Spirit, and maybe they don't have as much baggage either. But I will say this, I don't think there's a high school guy and this is always in the Christian circles and ministry circles, people talk about this a lot more. I don't know if it's still talked about a lot, but it's like, I don't want to, you know, introduce something to someone that hasn't struggled with it. There's not a single high school guy that we've come across that hasn't been exposed to porn. And
I know, it's like 99%.
Doesn't have a lust struggle of some point.
I can't. You know,
they may not have the same kind of struggle with masturbation or the same kind of pornography struggle, but at some point there's a lust in their heart. And like, it's also just a little biology of how the hormones are going.
And they don't know how to deal with it. We're not very, as a Christian community, we're terrible at giving them answers of practical things of how to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're missing it in the overall, you know, in the church circles for sure. And then kind of based on families, it's kind of hit and miss. Some do a great job. Most parents are doing they're doing the best job they know how to do. So yeah. I have a, now that I have a boy of my own, I'm a little nervous for when he gets to be in those teenage years, but I think there's no knock on the parents. It's just it's a different world. I remember sitting with an older man that I consider a mentor and just super wise. And we were talking about dating because his son was in my small group, but it came to be apparent. He's like, man, he doesn't have a good grasp on the the culture and kind of the landscape of what dating's like and the dangers that are in there, because he did it 40 years ago. And so I think we definitely have something to offer families and parents in that way of helping to engage their kiddos. And we've had a lot of feedback from moms. A lot of moms are wanting to kind of help their sons in this issue. And kind of we came to the point of talking, one of the best ways I think a mom can help their son is to get them plugged in with a group that's going through Dangerous Men and let them run. Because at the end of the day, the high school dude is just not going to talk to his mom about sexual sin and stuff. And hopefully he's going to talk to his dad, and that happens from time to time. That doesn't happen a lot either.
So speaking of parents, of course, that's probably one of the biggest differences of high school and college is that you often will have more contact with parents. How have you gone about networking with parents and letting them know what you're going to be talking about to keep yourself protected and keep them
in the loop?
Yeah,
I think one of our big phrases in KLIF anyways is to partner with parents, right? Come alongside the family and the church and supplement what they're doing in their family discipleship process. And one of the things we do a pretty good job at, you know, I just had a couple guys do this a couple weeks ago because they're starting a DM group with their ninth grade boys, is sending clear communication to parents and saying, this is what Dangerous Men is. And we've kind of got a staple, two or three emails that we use now, kind of explaining what Dangerous Men is and what the content is that's going to be discussed, and letting them know up front, like, this is for some families that have different ways of going, like, I want to talk about this or I don't want to talk about this, and they know where their kids are more than we do. And so we say, hey, if you want your son to be a part of this, then let's do it. And we kind of also put we kind of throw it in there as we kind of close down the group at that point. You know, it's kind of, some people say it's like anti-Christian-y, but for a season we close it down because we don't want people jumping in and out. We want people that are committed, even ninth graders. You're going to be committed for this season. Maybe it's 10 weeks or a semester. And then we turn it around and bring more people in and get to share that. But just communicating clear with parents, emails, phone calls, face-to-face interactions. Yeah, and I can't think of a real negative interaction with a parent. You know, there's sometimes some clarifying ones, but all a lot of positive. And some parents are just like, thank you. Most parents are just going, thank you. I know this is an issue, and I don't exactly know what to do to fix it. And I have a feeling this is not just a feeling, a sense that a lot of parents, because I'm in the same boat, are like, they're saying things like that because they probably haven't dealt with it completely themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's what I find, most youth pastors don't go for it because they haven't dealt with it themselves.
Yeah.
So I think, well, I can't teach it to my kids.
Yeah, somebody said a while back, you know, it was really hot for a while for like pastors and pulpits to talk about pornography and stuff, and they kind of stopped talking about it recently. And I was listening to a podcast the other day that's like, yeah, they stopped talking about it. It's not because we fixed a problem, because we still haven't fixed the problem. Just people stopped talking about it.
Have you used the Unveil for Women?
We've had a couple KLIF groups of gals go through Unveil. And Stevie, my wife, was a part of one of those. I don't remember exactly. It's been a couple years since. And it was good. I don't think they ever got to go through the Steps to Freedom. And so I think we missed some opportunity there. I just kind of ran out of bandwidth personally to manage.
Well, I always say, you know, the Steps of Freedom is so important because it's the power to live out the information in the book.
I agree that to all the guys, just trying to pump in the vision and the value of the Steps to Freedom. Is the Dangerous Men study for a semester is great. I mean, it's really good, but man, the best part is the Steps to Freedom, especially if you can do it on a retreat. We've had several guys that do the steps not on a retreat, maybe they do it in small group, kind of continue week by week or a one-on-one. But man, I just think the results of the retreat is so helpful.
And they see a lot more people that are actually listening to the Holy Spirit, confessing things, getting out. It's just big, cooler in a bigger group.
Yeah, it is definitely better. Pretty much every guy I've interviewed outside of maybe one in my 7 years has had a struggle with pornography and lust in that way. And we've seen a growing trend on the female side of things to where it's about almost 50% now, where it was a lot lower when we started 7 years ago. But it's definitely an issue. and it comes in different forms. It's not the exact same thing as guys struggle with, but the root sin is lust and selfishness in that, and just self-gratification. And there's a lot of identity issues wrapped up for both guys and girls. And
we have a lot of guys around the country who may be plugged in with churches or ministries and would want to get Dangerous Men officially approved by the ministry to help get just kind of grease the wheels. Do you have any advice on how you went about making Dangerous Men such a core part of what you're doing with K-Life, and any encouragement for people trying to do something similar?
Yeah, I think, as Lowell would say, just do it, you know? I've talked to several guys that work for different K-Life chapters around the country, several different youth pastors. They're like, oh man, I like what you're doing. I want to put that in my church. And I just tell all of them, you can't shortcut the process. You've got to slow bake this thing, and you've got to go through Dangerous Men yourself. You've got to get free yourself, because you got baggage. But even if you're not like actively looking at porn and you're doing a pretty good job on that front, you've got some past sin and some things you need to go through and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal and bring up. And so I tell all these guys, just find two or three people, and they could be your leaders. I think if you have a good trusted relationship with them, but go through with just three or four guys and go through it first for a semester, and then start to slowly kind of implement it throughout the ministry. And we've seen that with the church I attend in town, First Baptist. Our youth pastor friend of mine, Davin, has done, I mean, countless Dangerous Men groups, but they're a very they're not like youth ministry wide thing. It's like, hey, I've got five guys that need this. Let's do it. I think he just started one recently a few weeks back.
Yeah, I tell everybody to what you're saying. Go through it yourself first, but then don't make it a program for everybody.
Yeah.
Just the guys who are honest and open and want it, just do the process with them.
Why do you say not make it a program?
Because I say it's not a program. It's a lifelong process.
Yeah.
I mean, learning the fight spiritually is a lifelong process. You know, confession and forgiveness and understanding that is a process for your life. Getting your identity straight is a process for your life. It deals with all those things, not just pornography and sexual issues. So all that is just a lifelong process that how to grow spiritually.
Yeah, I think the subtitle is great. And it's good even for going back to our parents to just communicate what is Dangerous Men. That the name doesn't, it could be a lot of different things, you know? And so the subtitle of beginning the process of lust-free living normally gets... when I'm talking with parents and other adults, they're like, all right, I got it. It's good. Let's do it.
Get my son through that.
Yeah.
Being married for 8 years, how have you seen Dangerous Men affect your relationship with your wife? And how has your wife helped you along this journey as you have applied it both to yourself and then started to lead many other guys?
Good question, Spencer. Good question. How has Dangerous Men and just that whole, how has Dangerous Men affected like my marriage, my relationship with Stevie? Well, I think short answer is it's helped. It's helped a lot.
Yeah.
I think even going into marriage, there's, people talk about the honeymoon phase in marriage, but also there's a honeymoon phase for us, even getting into marriage, but that ended pretty quickly because I started traveling for work. I worked for SBU and was traveling on the road and found myself alone in hotel rooms and just in my thoughts going lustful and coming home and confessing some of that to her and falling in. I didn't think the lie that I think that we believe is you get married, you just never, you're never going to look at porn. And
you're never going to lust again.
You're never going to lust after a woman on the sidewalk. And guys and girls alike both, I think that.
Yeah.
And it's damaging because it's a earth-shattering moment when you realize that's not quite the case.
Totally not true.
And so... working through that first year was, I think it was a process, working through being able to confess to her and how to communicate about my struggle with lust with her is kind of an ongoing process. And I think what Dangerous Men has helped us do is really, she's really bought in and she knows the quality of, Bible-saturated discipleship that Dangerous Men is, and so she trusts that, and she's always encouraged me to make sure I'm staying accountable to men and encourages me to get around Lowell. Heck, we had a our first baby, and she let me go to Colorado for a week to get around Lowell, just because she knew the value of his influence in my life. And so practically, it's helped me get a lot freer from sin, helped me fight sin of lust. And I think people don't talk about it a lot when you get into ministry and you start working with guys and you're carrying these burdens from other people. Right. Like, and that affects you.
Yeah.
You got to get, and I'm still trying to get better at how to offload that and how to process that and how to hold that. But for sure, there's extra attacks from the enemy. And so being able to confess and repent and clean up, as we say, with other brothers, and be able to renounce lies and accept truth is huge. And so I don't sit here, 8 years into marriage, having the lust thing figured out. I think that's a lie. I thought it was going to be over with.
Yeah, it goes away. Doesn't.
It just takes on different forms.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever form you're in at the moment, it's the worst, you know? Like.
And the battle is always, the spiritual battle is always in our minds first.
Yeah. Yeah, I think chapter 6 in the version I've got, you know, that lust is the issue, right? More than porn or masturbation or, you know, breaking boundaries with a girlfriend or whatever it is, the root sin is the issue. And being able to deal with that and having a community of guys around to really confess that understand the struggle and that can hold you accountable in ways that sometimes even your wife can't.
Yeah.
Is really helpful.
Yeah, you've created such a awesome, you and Bill Walk up at the university with the leaders there. Have created this whole community of honest men, you know, who've learned kind of through Dangerous Men and other things, have learned how to be totally honest with each other. And it's just such a great community to be part of. It's very impressive.
Yeah, it's been very encouraging to see. Along the same line, I had a question. I was thinking you were talking about how the DM process has shaped or affected your marriage with Stevie, but how do you think it's prepared you for having a kid, for being a father?
Good question. Yeah, so Malachi, he's about almost 18 months coming up on it, so he's getting up there.
Almost close to 18 years.
Oh, no, that's what they tell me. I'm blinking, he's only 18. I think Dangerous Men has been, the whole process of Dangerous Men and the steps to freedom and really understanding how to renounce lies, take thoughts captive. I mean, I always read that verse in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians and kind of sort of knew what it meant, but actually doing it and being in the process of renouncing lies and negative thoughts and things like that and replacing with truth and using the power of Jesus, you know, that you gotta walk in the light and to walk in freedom, take thoughts captive, like I said, it is really, really helpful. And so recognizing how my sin, I've always heard this, I think, in sermons, but now with a kid, like recognizing how my sin and affects the household and seeing how that, you know, we talk a lot about submission and authority and how my spiritual authority in the house, especially for Malachi, is such a big deal. And if I've got unconfessed sin and I've got places that I haven't dealt with in my life, in my spiritual life, then that's going to affect him.
Yeah.
And it is affecting him. And I want to the best of my ability, right, to raise a son that's going to be a man to men and warrior to demons and always God's boy.
And a daughter soon.
And a daughter soon. That's right. And I'm super pumped and scared about that. But but I think also Malachi's taught me so much, and God's taught me so much through just his short little 18 months about how, you know, the way that, you know, that God's boy concept was so helpful in the identity chapter. You know, I'm 30. I'm sitting there last weekend. Just imagine how Malachi, you know, rolls up in my arms and kind of tucks his arms in and his head and cuddles up, and just remembering that, like, I don't move past that identity stage of I'm God's boy, you know, and he's got his arms are big enough for me. And so that's super helpful. I've talked about this a lot that, you know, marriage and kids don't complete you. All right. Don't let anybody lie to you, Johnny Spencer. Marriage and kids don't complete you.
We are aware.
They don't complete you, but they are gifts of God. In each stage, God revealed, like, he's just been so gracious and good to reveal a new level of depth of love through experiencing love from Stevie and then experiencing the love for a child just helps me understand God better.
Well, thanks for being with us. Thanks to all the listeners. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Go to dangerousmenunited.org where you could purchase the book, which is a small group curriculum, and there's a lot of other resources on the website. And don't forget, be a man to men, a warrior to demons, and always God's boy.